Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Moneyweb.
Now, I've said so many times on this program before that starting and growing a successful business is no small feat, and particularly in the case of this evening's interview in the competitive world of law. Many young attorneys struggle to find their footing in the legal industry, but today's guest on our Monday entrepreneurial focus turned a difficult start into an inspiring journey. I want to introduce you to Stephanie Aprosky, the founder of Aprosky Attorneys. It's a thriving legal practice. It specializes in family law, civil and commercial litigation, and contractual law. She's also a mentor, a businesswoman running two additional ventures, and if that's not enough, a mother who has also mastered the art of balancing work and family. I feel quite exhausted at this point. So my question tonight is, how did she build her practice from the ground up? What does it take to turn a legal career into a successful business? And are there lessons that other entrepreneurs can learn from her experience? So Stephanie, a very warm welcome, and by all accounts, a very inspiring story. You've said that your experience doing articles nearly pushed you away from law altogether. Let's start there. What was so bad about it? And then how did you turn that setback into the motivation to start your own firm?
Jeremy, thanks so much for having me on the show. Yes, the legal fraternity during articles is fraught with difficulties because there is a widespread notion, you know, that article clerks shouldn't be treated with much respect. So I did have a very difficult time during articles. I had a difficult principal who really discouraged me throughout those 2 years to want to stay in law. I ended up taking a year off, and my family, who are all entrepreneurs, encouraged me to start my own business. And that's really where it started. And yeah, I was so encouraged by them and supported by them to go through with that.
So as you've said, and this is not a story unique to many other entrepreneurs, the struggle with difficulty and self-doubt, particularly in the early days, I'm assuming that you would have questioned whether you were making the right decision by going solo. And what convinced you, what drove you to push forward?
I really do think it's my support system. My family, as I said, they're all self-starters. My sisters and my mother all own their own businesses. My father was the founding CEO of Aspen Pharmaceuticals. And so I really do feel that it's in my blood. And I was determined to make a change in the legal fraternity, determined not to be a part of that old school of thought, and be a part of raising candidate attorneys that were confident going into their legal career, that felt supported by their principals and their mentors, and could feel that they could make a positive change in our legal fraternity.
Stephanie, let me push you a little bit on the importance of the support system. In what way is that important? And how, as someone who is leaning into that, do you maximize and even milk it to an extent?
Yes. So I have a very supportive husband. And so he really assisted me in the beginning. I was at that point didn't have children. And so I did have a large measure of flexibility in terms of being able to work as much as I could with the time that I had. That was obviously diminished slightly when I did have my two boys. But I really have leant on the experience of my parents. My dad always says there's no substitute for hard work. And that's really what drove me. I just continued to work hard. And I tried to offer something that nobody else was really offering in the legal fraternity, which is this premium personal approach to legal matters. Your legal matter matters to us. You are a person with feelings and ideas, and you have something to contribute to the matter as well as I do.
Tell me a little bit about your work ethic then and now.
Yes, I think I've always been a workhorse. So now it's a bit more of a balancing act. So my mornings are my top priority, and I guard them fiercely. I'm in my office. I'm focused and determined during that time. And I work very hard until I have to collect my children from school. And then I often spend most of the afternoon with them before maybe doing 1 or 2 hours at night. I try not to overstep on that boundary at nighttime so that I'm fresh for the morning again. But I do think what's really helped me is moving electronic and paperless. So my entire practice is online and paperless. I can work from wherever I am. So often if my child is at basketball practice and I have to be there, I am also doing emails while I'm sitting there as well.
Starting a law firm, I imagine, requires more than just legal knowledge. You would have had to have a degree of business acumen. You've already referenced your father, but what were the biggest financial and operational hurdles that you faced in the early days, and specifically, how did you overcome them?
So I think one of my biggest struggles in my practice was and is cash flow. Managing cash flow is exceptionally difficult, and it's critical to success because we have disbursements like sheriffs and advocates that we need to pay, as well as obviously paying salaries. So I follow up, I analyze my age analysis every 2 weeks. I follow up on clients that are outstanding. And then we have a 90-day cutoff period where we won't perform any further work on your matter until your account's been paid in full. And I'm quite strict on that. And I think that has contributed largely to my ability to keep the practice running, you know, monthly.
Sometimes that's difficult, though, because on the one hand, you're trying to run a people-orientated law practice, which I imagine comes with a degree of empathy. But on the other hand, you've also got to be hard. And at some point, you know, if the invoice isn't paid, you can't work.
100% correct. And I think in my matters where there's children involved, that's where my bleeding heart does come out a bit. And I do struggle to cut those clients off. But I'd also find that a lot of my commercial clients actually respect that side of me. How am I going to be tough on their opponents and on their debtors if I can't be tough on them with outstanding fees? So, yeah, I think it's a pendulum that swings both ways, if I can say that.
And I guess you've just got to learn to be blunt.
100%.
Now, most law firms, particularly in the beginning, I imagine, I've had absolutely no experience in this at all, but you would struggle, I imagine, to attract clients in the beginning. So how did you do that? What marketing or acquisition strategies worked best for you in that respect?
But going forward from that, at the time that I was opening my practice, a mutual friend had a family member closing his, and he very kindly gave me two clients. And so I had something to do on my first day with two clients to service. And I'm so proud to say that they're still my clients today, 10 years on. And I think it really is about focusing on your client-based service and how you manage your clients, how you respond to them, and giving that premium personal service. That's really what we focus on.
What does that mean in the legal profession, a personal and premium service?
That means that in family matters, I often know your children's names. I know their ages and I know what schools they go to because I'm interested in you and I'm interested in how your matter progresses. In the civil matters, I seem to have a knack for remembering the history of the matters very well. We often have matters that span more than 5 years, and I generally can remember very intricate details of the matter. And I think that makes clients feel that their matter is important and that I'm interested and invested in it. The other part of it is that I'm often always available. I say to my clients, I don't want you to feel anxious about your matter. If you feel anxious, WhatsApp me. I'm on the other line and I will put your mind at ease. I don't want you to worry about it because I've got it and I've got your back.
Just quickly, what was the biggest mistake that you made in the early days and what did you learn from it?
My biggest mistake was allowing clients not to pay me. I had a matter where I had to write off a huge amount of debt and it almost sank me. And from that day onwards, I promised myself that I would never allow a client not to pay me again. And even if it was only a couple of thousand rand, I would pursue them even with a summons if necessary to get payment of invoices for work done.
And therein lies a valuable lesson for all entrepreneurs. Stephanie Aprosky, thank you very much indeed. Founder of Aprosky Attorneys, I appreciate your time tonight. Thank you so much.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.